Welcome to the second part of our three-part ASI cast special, looking at the definitions we need to agree upon when talking about the disruptive impact technology has had on the media industry. In this podcast, Richard Marks discusses, with a number of industry thought leaders, what we mean anymore by television. There remains considerable confusion around video consumption, where television ends and where online video begins. And whilst this distinction may not matter much to many consumers, for the media industry, the distinction is of great significance, both for advertising and content production and distribution. And we need to find a language to define the challenges and opportunities we face.
Well, I'm back for this second edition of these ASI special podcasts, with the assistance of a range of industry experts, thought leaders, and my trusty Snowball microphone. What is television is not just a question of semantics. It's a definition that really matters. Where does the television industry stop and online video begin? How much do they overlap? And is there a qualitative difference for viewers and advertisers? As we'll hear, there is some overlap in our experts' viewpoints, but far from a consensus. Television doesn't have an existential crisis, it is in rude health, but it perhaps doesn't have as strong a sense of identity as when it was simply a UHF signal broadcast to the box in your living room. We're going to discuss the relevance of terms like broadcast, linear and time shift, but firstly I asked Julien Rossin-Vallon of French measurement experts Médiamétrie the deceptively simple question, what is television?
TV is many things. TV, of course, is a device on which people are watching content, and there are more and more content and more types of content that are available on the TV set. And it's also, of course, a media ecosystem with a specific regulation and programs that can be watched on the TV screen, but also on many other screens today.
But if television is no longer constrained by the device that delivers it, then how do we define television? Over to Tess Alps of Thinkbox.
We think television means something very precise, actually, to consumers. And we always try and make real people our guide. I'm not saying it's one completely black and white. There is a spectrum that goes from video to TV. But TV definitely means content. It doesn't mean the TV set. Real people have absolutely no problem saying, I'm watching Vanity Fair, you know, I'm watching TV on my tablet, and it might be delivered by the internet. Mm. Or they'd say, you know, I'm watching some great TV, but it's an old DVD of Pride and Prejudice from BBC. It's still TV. Mm. It's the content that makes it. So it's the professional content, and that professional content is what makes the advertising around in and around that different from video. Because if you're going to watch half an hour of something or an hour of something, you're more predisposed to accept the advertising, to understand that you've got the time to watch it, and you've also got a fair value exchange. You're getting something valuable in return for watching the advertising. So Govcom did a very interesting piece of research on the spectrum from video to television. And I'm not saying that the device had no bearing on it, but by miles, the most important factor was the content itself. And certainly anything that's broadcast, but anything that has been broadcast even 20 years ago, they would call TV. And even stuff made possibly to be seen on YouTube, but that had some sort of television-based format to it or a big television name, they would say, is this video or TV? They'd be more likely to call it TV. Clearly, if you're watching it on TV set, that also helps.
However, Alex North of Facebook questions whether it's the quality of the content or of the environment that gives the benefit to advertisers.
I don't think all video is video when you think about TV and what have traditionally been called digital platforms. I don't think there's certainly a quality threshold because quality is subjective in terms of the content can be delivered that can be delivered across the platforms. For me, it's about the value that the platform can provide to marketers in terms of driving business objectives. That's the measure of the quality of the platform in our eyes. You can use video on both of those platforms, of course, but you need to understand that there are different rules that apply for the different channels that you might want to be using, whether it's traditional TV or a platform such as Facebook. So I don't think it's about quality. I think it's about what it can actually provide to marketers or the consumer of the platform. That's the distinction to me.
Josh Chasin of Comscore is wary about a quality definition.
One of the reasons I'm wary about defining television by production quality is that one of the things we see here is that there's a new standard emerging for on over-the-air television distribution, and that is ATSC 3.0. And one of the things that may well happen is that TV stations will get into other businesses, other not shoe manufacturing, but you know, they'll get into other sort of content distribution because they're able to do that with the technology. It could be information, it could be different kinds of programming programming that aren't as high quality as traditional quality television, quote unquote. So I'm wary of using quality as the definition because, you know, A, who's going to define quality? B, you know, there are different ways that the technological platforms may create business models for entities we consider TV companies to do different things.
Ad industry guru Brian Jacobs prefers to define television by the purpose for which the content was originally made.
And I think myself that TV, a television, is sort of defined not so much by the quality of it or something, but more the purpose for which the content is made, be that content sort of a program or an ad or whatever it may be. So let's talk about it as if it was a program because it's kind of easier for conversation, as it were. So if we're talking about a program, I mean, when people go out and make a program or series or whatever it happens to be, I believe that they're making it with the intention of that thing being consumed in some way on a large screen, or on a screen, I would even go as far as to say, certainly on a large screen, on what we would call a television set. And I believe that is then television. Now, of course, if people then choose to consume that thing, that content, on a small screen, a phone or a tablet or whatever it may be, then that doesn't change the nature of the content. It's still television, in my opinion. I don't think it's a matter of sort of who actually produces it, because I could go off and make something. It might be absolute nonsense and rubbish, but if I'm making it with the intention of it appearing on a TV, on what we would call a TV set, and I find someone who's stupid enough to give me a commission to go and do such a thing, and I make it with that intention in mind, that destination in mind, then I believe that is then television. If, on the other hand, I go and film a picture of my dog or a video of my dog playing with a stick or something, no one is ever going to put that on TV. Well, I say no one. I doubt very much anyone's going to put that on TV. I'm certainly not making it with the intention of that appearing on a TV set. I'm making that as, you know, for consumption on a social media channel or YouTube or, you know, whatever it may be, in which case I don't think that is television. I think that's video.
So is it quality? Is it design that defines television? Decipher's Nigel Wally argues that television is the composite of a range of different factors.
That question hasn't been resolved after kind of 5 years of attempting it. There is, you can throw things down which kind of make sense, but there is always holes that and examples which disprove it. So there's always an assumption that television is professionally produced, not UGC or kind of amateur produced. So there's a level of professional which is implied in the term television. But of course, you know, there can be examples where that isn't the case. There's an implication that it's content that is destined for mass consumption in some form. And there is an implication that there is a heavy role of editing and kind of artistic direction in there. But again, each of those three people, you would probably nod and say, yeah, that kind of implies television, but then you can immediately come up with examples that, that disprove it. So I think it's a very hard definition, television. We all know it when we see it, but it's actually very hard to put an absolutely rock solid definition of what is and what isn't television, because a random piece of video that we would definitely say is not television may, with some judicious editing and placement, end up being quite an important piece of television.
Okay, so if we're agreed that television is definably separate from wider video content, are SVOD series made by Netflix and Amazon Prime television?
We're thinking about whether Facebook can make telly or distribute telly, or whether Twitter can. There was a time when we said the same thing about Amazon, and now suddenly Amazon is winning Emmys and BAFTAs for its content. And both Netflix and Amazon have gone past the point now where the majority of their content is viewed on a large screen experience, not a small screen experience. So they are clearly outsiders to our original definition of TV, who crashed the party. And they're making content which is both delivered in a TV-like context and consumed in a TV-like context. They are, without doubt, television players. So then people say, well, surely Facebook will be different. But I suspect that Facebook will go through the same evolution that both Netflix and Amazon have gone through, and that they will create an app which will be a telly app where their professionally produced and sourced content sits. We won't be watching telly through the existing and traditional Facebook app. We'll be watching it in a bigger screen context. And then, like those other two, the Facebook television app will migrate to being within television platforms. So, you know, this year we've seen Netflix do a deal with Sky in the UK. So suddenly this outlying app that was meant to disrupt telly is just sitting alongside HBO and Nat Geo as another telly brand. And Amazon Prime is rapidly making the same evolution. It sits within BT, UView and other television platforms, not in Sky yet in the UK. And around the world, it sits in television platforms as a content player alongside HBO, Discovery, Nat Geo. And so they've made an evolution from being outside insurgent non-television brands to being just another lineup of television brands, which is great because it means that there's new competition and new players. And I don't see why Facebook, a thing called Facebook Watch or a thing called Facebook News couldn't make the same journey.
To us at Thinkbox, we would say Netflix, Amazon Prime are absolutely part of the TV industry. There's no question about it. And it's only us who question that. When they're up for an Emmy or a Golden Globe or a BAFTA, of course they should be considered as part of the TV family. They pay, they commission content, they make it available, okay, not in a linear channel format. They market it, they pay proper money for it, and they're offering people an excellent service for extra money, obviously, but for a lot of people, that's a very good deal. It's more competition, more TV competition, but then TV is where everybody's trying to get in to get to be. If you've seen something of a gold rush of every company sees, that's where the real money is to be made in advertising.
Ayo Moisala of Finnish public broadcasters YLE believes that we need a user-centric rather than an industry-centric definition of what television is.
We, inside of the company, think that it's all television because it's produced by a media company.
Mm.
And we have video and audio. So it's, in a way, it's all television. But it can be said also that it's all video. But, of course, you want to separate it from the user-generated video side or the streaming service video side. But I don't think that the audience is making those categories, or they are not differentiating. If we are asking like youngsters, what do you view? They would say that well, I watch Netflix, I watch YouTube, and I want Swahili Arena, which is our player. So from the user perspective, it's like crucial to understand what type of content is it, but not to label it so much.
I think from the consumer angle, they probably, almost certainly, thinking of myself as a consumer, think about things differently to the way we do within the measurement industry. So I don't go home of an evening and say, I'm going to consume digital, or I'm going to consume TV. Yeah. Or perhaps even if I do say I'm going to watch TV, then it might not necessarily be on the TV set in the way that has formerly been described historically within measurement. So it ultimately comes down to the consumption of content, consumption of something. I want to watch something. Mm. I want to listen to something. And it's the challenge that we as an industry face is trying to measure people, because we're too preoccupied with these definitions. Mm. I think it sometimes gets in the way of standards and planning and measurement opportunities, because you then decide, well, this doesn't fall within this bucket, so we shouldn't measure it in the same way. Whereas at the end of the day, you're trying to measure people and what content people are exposed to. And if you're a marketer or an advertiser, you want to reach a person in the right way and engage with them in a certain way, with a certain story and a certain piece of creative. And that is device and definition agnostic. You want to engage with them in the right way, and you want to understand how to do that. So there is a danger that we get bogged down with some of these different definitions sometimes, and I think some of the measurement ones that we apply have served us well, but might not necessarily translate to consumers in the way that they view the media.
Of course, television can be watched in a number of different ways: live, recorded, or via catch-up services. Are we clear what we mean by those terms? Is, for example, the phrase linear television useful? What does it mean?
So is the word linear television a helpful phrase in this mix? Again, we tie ourselves in knots around this. We're increasingly nervous of the word broadcast, and use linear sometimes to replace broadcast. We're happy with the word broadcaster, oddly. We will describe a company as a broadcaster, but we're conscious that many broadcasters put their channels out over the air and also as IP streams. So the word linear is helpful in that mix, because it describes the type of content. So live, linear, scheduled television is a description of a television channel, whether it comes over the aerial or comes over an Ethernet feed. So linear telly, as a short version of that longer phrase, is helpful in a world where simulcast IP streams are growing up as an option for watching big broadcasters' output. And as I say, we just happen to be slightly careful of the word broadcast now, because it's one of those dual meaning words that it never used to matter. When we talked about a broadcast before, there was only ever one technology option for getting it into a house. It was over an aerial or an antenna. But now you can watch BBC One over the air as a broadcast, or as an IP stream broadcast. I mean, you realise, hang on, broadcast can mean a content concept, one to many at the same time, but also it was used as a technical description for over the air. So linear has come in to help us deal with that confusion. And again, scheduled is helpful. Linear, because you can pause it, you can have time shifted linear, oddly. If you press pause on a television set-top box, go and make a cup of tea for 20 minutes and come back and watch it, you're watching linear telly, but time shifted. We have a Venn diagram we drew with all these definitions, and it got to about 15 different circles, all interlocking, and linear was just one of the circles on this.
It's interesting that Nigel sees linear as an alternative to the word broadcast, but many are using linear as a specific type of TV consumption to mean watching live scheduled television in real time.
I think we happily use the phrase linear TV because I think people understand what we mean by it. Sometimes we also use the word scheduled. What it conveys is something that's a real-time occurrence. And the idea that everybody wants to watch everything on demand seems to be not a sound assumption. I think people will probably watch more of their TV on demand in some way. But actually, people also love the real-time nature. And time is a linear thing. So anything that's related to real time, the word linear seems to make sense. It works in the way it describes how an EPG works as well. You can go forwards in linear schedule, but you can actually go backwards, as you can do, obviously, on UView. So I don't think linear as a word is a problem for understanding. I think people know what it means. But it's not the only form of TV. Mm. Obviously, people know that. Time shifting is a human need. So I think we would say time shifting can both be recorded and playback, or it can be on demand. So you could basically shift. The point about the word is that you understand it had a time.
Mm.
You can only shift a time if you... you know, you accept that it did have a life in real time somewhere.
Mm.
So it tends to, you need to talk about time shifting when it comes to things that have been broadcast, because they were hooked into real time then, and now you're shifting their time. But you don't have to, it isn't just one way of time shifting.
So how are the measurement companies defining the different types of television viewing?
In France, the MediaMat, the reference audience measurement for television, measure, of course, live TV viewing, time shift TV viewing, catch-up TV viewing. In France, what we call the time shift viewing, it's the usage of the personal video recorder or the usage of the pause, the play and pause button on the remote of the set-top box, the TV set-top box of the users. The catch-up usage refers to the viewing of a program that's accessible on the platform from a TV player or telecom/TV player. Friends do not use the term VOD to talk about catch-up. We use alternatively the expression replay TV. We use the term VOD mostly when we want to talk about SVOD, subscription VOD. The generic term VOD, which could include catch-up if you look at the meaning of the term, is not currently used in France.
These are the definitions that the television currencies tend to use around the world. But how useful are these definitions for advertisers?
Well, I don't think linear TV is a particularly helpful phrase, no, to be frank. I mean, I know what it used to mean, and I'm probably out of date with it or something, but I don't believe it does mean that, for the perfectly good reasons that, you know, there's all sorts of other ways of viewing TV now, be it on time shift or catch up TV or kind of whatever else, or indeed binge viewing it or kind of whatever. I don't think it's a particularly helpful phrase. I'm not quite sure what it adds to the discussion, to be honest. Why would that matter to an advertiser? Well, it would matter, you could argue, one might argue, that if you're watching The Bodyguard live on whichever night it was, Sunday night, then you're paying more attention to it than if you're somehow or other watching it on catch up and you might know what happened, or you might have read something about it in the paper or something, you know. I suppose you could sort of argue that it's a more valuable exposure because it's going out of the moment, as it were. But I'm not sure that it really matters much, and I'm not sure that, frankly, it's a very helpful definition. I think that if someone's watching, I mean, if I watched The Bodyguard live, now if I'd chosen to record it because I wanted to see it later, then I'm going to make damn sure I don't know what happened. So my experience of watching it is going to be the same as if I'd watched it on Sunday evening. So I don't think it makes very much difference.
So having made our best attempts to define television, where does it sit alongside newer media?
So why do people still use the phrase TV and digital? I'm going to be quite harsh here. I personally think it's incompetence. I think it's people who are spouting phrases who don't actually understand what they're talking about. Whenever I hear somebody say TV digital, my mind goes blank at that point, because I know that whatever else comes out of their mouth is completely fucking avoidable. And not relevant, because they're not intelligent enough to make a simple comment about different forms of media. If somebody is saying, an industry professional is using the phrase TV and digital, you have to look them square in the eye and really question whether they understand the industry they're working in.
We need to be careful not to stray back into the territory that we covered in our first podcast, What is Digital? But the use of the phrase TV and digital is an attempt to constrain television itself, portraying it as an old medium, not a digital medium.
I have a personal crusade against journalists who use ancient cathode ray tubes to illustrate TV. And we usually respond by, you know, using a picture of a massive mainframe computer to signify the internet. It is crazy. All of the images that they use like that actually wouldn't even work in the UK anymore as TV sets. But it's part of characterising television as something that had its heyday in the past, something from the 50s or even the 70s, certainly nothing for today. You just don't see TVs in people's homes like that, but we have to unfortunately live with pictures like that, and sometimes just even icons. I can tolerate little antenna on top of screens because, in fact, you know, aerials still are an important way of delivering television. But it's the sort of curved edges and the funny buttons that are clearly annoying.
As A.M. Wasala points out, television is strong, but it's not an island. It needs online and social media to really thrive.
We need all forms to reach the people that we are trying to reach. Wiley is a tax-paid company, so we need to have good understanding of all the different audiences. Some of the audiences are not in the more traditional world anymore. So by that I mean the broadcast or linear TV, where there was broadcasting from one to many. But quite many of them are in the world where the way of doing media is one to one. And that's why we've been developing that for multiple years. Our player is over 10 years old, so we have learned to be fairly good in many respects in when serving one-to-one things. But we need the cooperation and we need the good partnerships also with the other. So, I mean, social media platforms and to actually find the audiences and to be able to tell them that we have all these great things, because the one-to-many isn't working anymore, and that's not the way that we will be reaching them.
We should not underestimate the value of YouTube to broadcasters as a marketing place. They willingly upload bits of their professional content in order to make people love that series. So I can imagine we'd all be lost without YouTube.
In our last podcast, I warned against the use of the phrase television and digital. And it's equally important that when we use the word television itself, we don't use it interchangeably to mean the medium and one of the devices that delivers that medium. We have television sets which can show television and other forms of content like gaming, and we have television the medium available on TV sets but also on many other platforms and services. So rather than digital leading to the death of television, by becoming a digital medium, television has been liberated from the TV set to become ubiquitous across all platforms. And it's a medium that the newer digital players have entered because they see that television is still where the money is. As we have heard, there is consensus around television being a cross-platform medium now, but there is not agreement about where television ends and online video begins. Is it who makes it, what screen it's made for, the quality of the content, the length of it, or a combination of all of these? As Aya and Alex have pointed out, perhaps for the consumer, it really doesn't matter. However, for the media business itself, a clear definition is vital if we're going to understand how advertising is allocated, where it should be allocated, and whether there is a difference in effectiveness between television, in inverted commas, and other forms of video. Which provides us with a cliffhanger to this second part of our trilogy, because in the third and final part we'll be hearing about what our panel have to say about advertising itself. Can we define what a viewer is? How can we compare impact across platforms? And can we ever define and measure engagement and effectiveness across those platforms? So, stay tuned for that. But in the meantime, I'd like to thank again our panel of experts for taking the time to speak with us. We will hear from them again in that third and final special podcast in this series before we return to our regularly scheduled programming.